The following program has been furnished and paid by Nathan P. Ross, CPA, and KSEV is not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
To the Be a Planner, this is the syndication math show. We have a tax math show on Saturday afternoons. It was on at 5 p.m. yesterday. This is our Sunday 7 a.m. show that we would typically refer to maybe as syndication Sundays, if you wanted a buzzword for it. It's pretty much the sole focus of the show, although occasionally we'll stray into some other areas, news-related or otherwise, that affect our investments in private real estate partnerships. The gist of syndication math is, we're going to discuss along the way why we might invest in one transaction versus another. In other words, we're going to assess the math involved with individual, sometimes specific transactions. We may not necessarily identify the transaction unless we have a syndicator that's come on the show with us as a couple weeks ago, and we did specifically talk about a transaction. It was offered under a section of the SEC code that actually allows general marketing and discussion, so that was possible, whereas there's going to be other occasions we won't be able to divulge the specific transaction, but we can talk about the syndicator involved and the type of projects that they look for and help you achieve a status that's very important from an investor standpoint if you're going to invest in this space, and I'll talk more about that here shortly. I just want to say that, as with anything you hear on the radio or TV show or on the web that involves financial or tax, legal, real estate, or other strategies, you should always discuss with your own personal advisors, tax, legal, real estate, or other professionals what you heard before you run off and do it, because the first of all, just the strategy itself, the facts that are represented could be wrong. So you want to make sure it's current, and you want to make sure it fits your objectives, which hopefully your current advisors will understand what those are. So, be a planner. Nathan Ross CPA, MP Ross CPAs, et cetera, do not become your tax, legal, real estate, or other professional advisor just because you listen to this show or access one of our websites. Send me an email, send me a text, etc. So just want to be clear that, we will give you as up-to-the-minute information as we know exist, but typically we're talking about general rules. We're not talking about the exceptions to the exception that might apply to your particular facts and circumstances. One thing I want to start off with here this morning, because I think there's probably a number of folks that might be listening that are in your car right now, headed over to the building that I office in, 11200 Westheimer, and you're going for your second day of training in what I would consider one of the leading real estate investor mentor programs. I'm also going to refer to them as the old school membership investor mentor programs, which is akin to you buying your tickets from travel agents. And I'm going to ask you, when's the last time you bought your ticket from a travel agent? And I'm sure many of you are going to say, well, you know, my company takes care of that. Okay, besides you guys, I know when I fly back and forth to Bangkok, my second home here in Thailand, which has kind of become my first home due to all the COVID travel restrictions, been over here for just over 2 years now. But someday I'll be able to easily travel back and forth. I'll be able to transit through Tokyo, which has some of the hardest restrictions right now, and it's the only way I've ever done this flight or flights. And I'll be back on Google Flights doing my research, you know, to find that flight, compare that flight, and ultimately buy it, although you don't buy it, you know, with Google. It puts you through to the individual carriers involved. Just an amazing, I'm going to call it an electronic travel agent replacement. And that's how we buy our tickets now. You know, it's faster, it's more convenient, it's got comparative information, it's multiple itinerary options. I can do a multi-city, I can do a round trip versus a one-way. I can put, you know, some bookends together. If I buy a flight that's got four segments, two over and two back, I can use two of them this time and pair them with two that I had left over from last time. So many things I can do without having to wait for a callback and without having to pay what are typically much higher rates than if you go through the websites. And so in any event, I'm going to suggest that that same dynamic has now found the real estate private partnership syndication market. And whereas, you know, a year or so, maybe, you know, a year and a half, 2 years, you pretty much had to join a membership platform to get access to the REPs, the real estate private partnership syndications. However, now, just like the plane tickets, where you used to call a travel agent for assistance, now you can invest direct with more than a few syndicators. In fact, you can invest direct with some of the syndicators that used to be part of almost any platform that's out there. You know, the good ones eventually realize there's too many restrictions on how they can operate. They've built significant teams to help them take down maybe more than one or two complexes at once. And the assorted platforms that are out there typically have some restrictions on you know, portfolio type purchases. So there's many reasons why syndicators have found their way out from under the umbrella of the platforms that they started with. That said, there are still reasons to join the platforms, to pay the $20,000 plus membership fees. Yeah, so you guys that are in your cars right now driving over to 11,200 Westheimer, you heard rumors and innuendo yesterday to get your appetite whetted for joining that special elusive group that gets access to those investments. And you're going to hear about that today. And I'm going to suggest you listen. If you got the extra 20 grand laying around, go for it. Do it. In fact, I think you'll probably get a $2,000 discount. I think it'll be an $18,000 purchase. Jump on it if you've got the money. I'll help you exploit that platform or any other you choose to join and help you achieve above average outputs based on using the tax code in an optimal fashion. I hear the music coming for the first break. We'll be back here in a few minutes with the Be a Planner Syndication Mass Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
Got a question for Nathan? Phone lines are open. Call now, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-KSEV. BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com or tune in each Saturday at 5 p.m. for the Be a Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross, right here on AM 700 KSEV.
Whether you're a seasoned investor or just getting started with real estate private partnership syndications, you can now take advantage of direct online investing options. Tune in Sundays at 7 a.m. to the Be a Planner Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, right here on KSEV.
There wasn't nothing but a heartache in the middle of a bad dream. Like I took on the whole world and I never had a chance, girl. And Lord, I tried to be forgiving, but getting by don't mean you're living.
Okay, welcome back to the Be a Planner Syndication Mass Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And just before we broke, I was explaining for those of you that are headed over to 11,200 West Timer a little bit about what you're going to learn about today. It's a fascinating topic. It's almost magical the way apartment buildings are traded and the metric under which they're valued. Totally unlike the single family market. The comp dictates your gain on a single-family property. It's not much else. It's what the folks around the corner from you sold their house for a couple months back. That's going to be your cap, I mean, within some bounds. Whereas in the multifamily game, it's traded based on a concept like what I'm going to call normal businesses, on an EBITDA, which is earnings before income, taxes, depreciation, amortization. Well, we use NOI, net operating income. And when you buy a beat up Class C apartment building, we refer to it as a value play versus a yield play, which would be like buying a T-bill where you've got a highly occupied, up-to-date property. The money to be made, the big money, is in the value play. So we buy the beat-up Class C apartment, we renovate it, we add the wood-like, quote-unquote, flooring, we add new appliances, we add smart home packages, maybe trash valet, some covered parking. Any event, we're trying to raise the rents as a result, and it's not uncommon to target a $200-$250 rent increase on what was a beat up Class C apartment. Maybe it's a C plus now, maybe it's a B minus. I have some issues with those projects because there's so many of them right now. You really got to be careful which ones you pull the trigger on, because there's a limited number of fish swimming in the pond that's going to just automatically start paying an extra $200 to $250 a month in rent for the same unit that they've already been renting. So you got to be careful. You got to make sure the assumption set is logical. And this is a reason that even though you can invest direct, you may not want to, or you may want to work with someone like us, where we've been through this many, many, many times over the last 20 plus years, and we understand the metrics, we understand what might be a price that's being paid that's too high relative to the market, and we understand the egregious nature of the fees that are being added to some of these projects. And by that, I'm going to refer to the foxes, some of the syndicators that are out there that are coming for your hen house. And they're looking to raid your chickens chickens that would otherwise lay some golden eggs, with some just incredibly egregious fees. And it's not just the overt fees that you see in the investment documents, if you're savvy enough to figure out where they are. It's also the deal structure. There's some issues with respect to structure that can greatly impact the amount of money that comes out at the throughout the project as well as at the end. And then it's even more basic. I mean, today, if you didn't hear it yesterday, you'll probably hear it again today if you're heading over to my office building. You'll hear that, you know, you should probably, if you got several hundred thousand dollars in your 401 or IRAs, you should probably consider just ripping the Band-Aid off and pay the tax on that money now. And you're also going to be told in error that you'll get some tax breaks the first year to offset some of that from these investments, which unless you're the lead partner, you're the one actually managing the project, you will not, you cannot receive those tax benefits unless you've got other passive income, which most people that join these platforms don't yet. You will eventually, and you will get to use those losses, by the way. They're just limited for the current year, maybe the first, you know, 3, 4, 5 years until you exit, sell the property or the partnership sells it, then you get to utilize those deductions. The problem is you can't tell the IRS on next year's tax return, let me hold off on sending you on the $350,000 example I show at BAPlanner.com. That's BEAPLANNER. I show projected based on perform information impact on $350,000 tax deferred accounts that you may have, and it's about a $95,000 tax hit. It depends on what else you have in income this year. It could be more. It's likely not going to be less. I think the example I use there assumes $100,000 in other W-2 income. And I'll suggest to you that that's approximately a $95,000 tax bill. And it's right there on the illustration. It's towards the top. But bottom line, that tax advice, which these are folks that will tell you, oh, we don't give tax advice as they're beginning the discussion of using your 401. It's like you don't care what everybody else thinks. You're going to beat your chest hard enough and say it loud enough from the front of the room that you should liquidate those funds and invest them in real estate. And you'll never hear that you could do that already without liquidating your funds, without paying taxes and penalties, and without needing the write-offs on those transactions, because there's a vehicle out there that we routinely put in play for those that qualify that avoid, and it's most people, that avoids paying any tax on the rollover and or penalty. And unlike what you hear on the radio, it does not involve a plan that only you pay it. In other words, you make contributions every year and you have no control over it. Wrong. It's a plan that you absolutely control. You become the trustee of those funds. It's no longer Charles Schwab or Fidelity or whoever's administering your big company 401 plan. It's you and your wife. You decide who, when, where, and how much to invest in real estate, or write yourself a check if that's your desire. That's your prerogative. You will pay tax, and if you're under 59 and a half, you'll pay penalty. If, in fact, you're ready to do that on a sliver of the funds, you're not going to pay it on the totality, which is what you'll do if you rip the Band-Aid off at the suggestion you'll hear. And I guess I just want you to stop and think when you're thinking about writing that check. It's usually one or other of the spouses that I get the phone call from. It varies. And the concept is, well, you know, there's got to be a better way. What's another way of doing this? And I'll explain the other way to you. I'll also explain that even though you're not old yet, like I am, you're under 59 and a half, and you like your job, you don't mind the cubicle that you go to every day. I get a chuckle out of that every time I hear the platform on another radio show. They act like a cubicle. You know what? That cubicle is an income stream. And until you don't need it or otherwise have other income streams that you enjoy more, which that may not ever be the case, you may enjoy the gratification. Just because somebody else that happens to have a microphone now didn't like their job and didn't understand the benefits of wealth accumulation in a different way, maybe the happiness factor, I'll tell you right now, and I've heard, if you don't believe me, you know, dial up YouTube and listen to Grant Cardone. I don't know if the guy's a billionaire or not. He says he is, but one thing he's got right is that money does not translate to happiness. And I don't care where you're at in life, once you get money and once you experience, as I heard gentleman the other day. He's a syndicator. He's also out there on YouTube. And he said, you know, when I didn't have money and I first got money, I would eat at a nice upscale restaurant or I would stay in a nice upscale hotel that I wouldn't do before. And then he said at some point that becomes normal. It's like the Motel 6 I used to stay at. Well, now that's how, you know, the hotel he's staying at now feels. And so all I'm trying to tell you is if you're not happy, I don't care how much wealth accumulation, I don't care how early you retire yourself, quote unquote, you're going to be unhappy. So, you know, I would suggest there's more to happiness than investing in real estate and making a lot of money. Yes, that can happen, happens a lot. My clients are living proof. And I would suggest that, as I believe it was Kenny Rogers that once said, you know, money didn't buy happiness, but you can make a pretty nice down payment on it, which I guess is another way of looking at it. But in any event, I want you to understand that with the private real estate partnership market now, you can invest directly, not necessarily something that you want to do on your own. You can lose more money on one transaction than my annual fees to help you understand, and at base, this is what we do, help you understand what you're signing up for. And once you understand that, at some point, you'll be able to take a look at these endeavors on your own, although most of our clients stick around in one form or fashion. We've got multiple tools to help you do your own analysis. In any event, if you're interested in learning more about the education that we'll be offering here very near term on a complimentary basis, this will be the basics of what you need to qualify if you're non-accredited, meaning you've got less than $1 million in net worth, not counting your home, and you earn $200,000 or less if you're single, $300,000 or less if you're married, filing joint, then we will help you with the education you need at a minimum to qualify as a sophisticated investor, non-accredited, but sophisticated. It's a term used to describe someone that's got some education in the area of real estate, or maybe a modicum of experience, or maybe you've had assorted webinars provided by syndicators, all the above. And we'll be offering that, again, complimentary. And then if you decide you want to work with us after you've achieved that status, then we absolutely will be very interested in helping you assess investments. We'll indicate where you can find syndicators that will deal direct. You'll have the resources you need to avoid the platform if you decide the mentor group is not for you. And again, you got the extra 18, 20 grand laying around. You like being part of a club or a group, makes you feel good. You go on events together. Hey, go for it. You're still going to need someone that will analyze which deals to invest in, because the platform won't do that. Because if they do, they're cannibalizing some of their syndicators, because these projects are not the same. And the ones you hear about on the radio are the ones that actually turned out above average. But for every one on the radio, there's four, five, six, maybe a dozen that didn't turn out as well. And you don't hear about those. I do, because I do tax returns for a lot of the members of assorted platforms. I see what's going on. I get K-1s. I see other reporting, and it gives us an ability to consult accordingly. Okay, we're coming up to the end of the second break. If you have a question, you're welcome to call me at 281-558-5738, or you can shoot me a text message at 713-581-0195. We'll be back in a few minutes with more of the Be A Planner Syndication Mass Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
Got a question for Nathan? Phone lines are open. Call now, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-KSEV. Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A, acquisition, to E, exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com or tune in each Saturday, 5 p.m. for the Be A Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross on AM 700 KSEV. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just getting started with real estate private partnership syndications, you can now take advantage of direct online investing options. Tune in Sundays at 7 a.m. to the Be A Planner Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, right here on KSEV.
So reach down, reach out and lead me, guide me and keep me in the shelter of your care each day.
Okay, welcome back to the Be A Planner Syndication Mass Show with Nathan Ross, and we were just discussing the free education track for non-accredited investors that we'll be offering. And for that matter, if you're accredited and you want to join us as well, that's fine. We're going to do those in person in Houston. We'll probably also offer an option for online eventually, if not right away. So if you do send me an email at info@npross.com. Just put training in the subject line. That's all you need to do. And then if you would indicate you prefer in-person versus online, that would be very helpful. And I would strongly urge you to do in-person simply because we'll have members of my team there. I'll be remote. However, that shouldn't stop you. It's the only way you're going to get this training for free. But I will have some of my tax bench strength will be there. And, you know, there's just something about, I guess, having the ability to ask questions right there in person. And we're not looking to get in and run out by a certain time. We'll stay and answer questions for you if they need to be one-on-one. You don't feel comfortable talking about some of these topics in front of others, that's okay. We get it. Been doing this a long time, and be happy to help you. One thing that I wanted to, you know, we've done, I don't know, I think this is the sixth week maybe the show, and I've covered some material that, you know, the problem that I'm faced with as a prognosticator is I never know the perspective of who tuned in this morning. And so while I may have covered, you know, what's an equity multiple or what's the internal rate of return factor we look at or what's the difference between return on capital or return of capital, it's hard just to pick up in the middle and move on into next few metrics. And I've been accumulating some emails from the prior shows that ask questions. And so I think what I'm going to do today, these last two segments, is I'll revisit some of those metrics to kind of give us another start point so that next week and the week after, et cetera, we can move on into some of the deeper metrics. But I've got a web page on the BAPlanner.com site. You don't have to go to it, but if you are able to look at it, it might be helpful. And there's a link there at the top for syndication math. And if you'll go to that link, you're going to see a placeholder called the lineup there. It's an embedded spreadsheet. And it is all fake data. There's nothing here that's confidential. There's nothing here that you could invest in. Why? Because these projects don't exist. Okay. Now, there may be some just like them that do. Even then, I'm not putting them out here for investment solicitation purposes. This is an illustration of one of the tools that we provide, you know, paying clients. This isn't something we do for free, and this is just a snapshot of it. It's going to be much more involved than what you see here, but this is what I started discussing back when we started the show in December, And again, I've had more than a few emails, phone calls, et cetera. I've got questions that I think would be a good review. And so that's what I'm going to do today. And again, if you've got a question, either call the station here at 281-558-5738. The producer will put you into the call queue. Hopefully I'll see it and be happy to try to answer it on air. Otherwise, send an email to info@npross.com. That's the November Papa Roger Oscar Singapore.com. I'll answer you that away, or you can shoot me a text if you prefer text at 713-581-0195. In any event, so one of the first things I covered on the second show, is I indicate on the lineup whether the transaction is 506B or 506C. And 506B, to be clear, and I've got a definition down below. If you go down below the spreadsheet, you'll see SEC. And if you'll click the plus sign to expand that accordion-style content, you'll see that Rule 506B allows issuers to raise money from an unlimited number. It's an unlimited amount of money from an unlimited number of accredited investors, plus up to 35 non-accredited investors who qualify as sophisticated. So for those folks that I mentioned earlier are below the million-dollar mark in liquid, well, not liquid, but you're below the million-dollar mark in net worth, not counting your residence, and you don't earn at least $200,000 a year for the last 3 years if you're single, or $300,000 per year for the last 3 years if you're married and filing joint, then you are non-accredited. And so you need to seek sophisticated investor status to enable you to invest in a transaction that's offered under 506B. These are restricted securities. No general solicitation or advertising is allowed to market the securities. And you'll notice that the 506C, right below that definition, or you'll see several 506C transactions on the fake lineup content, those transactions permit the issuers, the sponsors, the lead partner, whatever you want to call the group that's running the investment, to broadly solicit and generally advertise that, hey, we're raising money for this specific transaction. And so, but note that until you have the what I call the deal doc stack, which is the private memorandum that gives you a set of required disclosures, and it specifically identifies the investment, that's when the offer is made. The fact that you may hear somebody on the radio, I don't believe that constitutes an offer. Now, some syndicators may disagree with me, but I think clearly you see advertisements all the time where in the fine print it says, this is not a solicitation to invest. It's simply informational. So that's how I attribute if I hear a syndicator on a radio program. And if they're talking about a specific investment, that better be offered under the 506C rule. But those are also restricted securities. It's just 506C transactions do not allow non-accredited investors. And essentially, an accredited investor, one that does have more than $1 million net worth and or meets the two income stratas that I mentioned earlier, whether they're smart enough or savvy enough or experienced enough to analyze these transactions, they're deemed to be by default if they qualify as accredited. And that's the reason that you can have a general solicitation and advertising. And again, the 506B, the sophisticated investor, is not able to invest in those transactions. And, there are certain platforms out there that we work with our clients on that limit any transaction that comes on their platform. And by the way, I guess I didn't mention that the best part about the additional platforms that we work with clients on, there's no membership fee. There's no membership fee at all for the passive investor to join. And I'm going to suggest to you each one of those transactions differs a bit in the fee burden, but the fee burden is a relative thing. I mean, is it best if we have no fees? Most of the time it would be, but it depends on how the deal performs. And if the deal, is off the charts good, it may be worth paying the fees because of what you net out of the transaction. That's what we try to look at. We try to look at the pro forma numbers. We do a little sensitivity what-if analysis, and it may be that giving the syndicator one or more of the fees involved, especially if it's back-end loaded, in other words, they don't earn it till they get to the end and they've made you your money back times two over a four-year period is our target, or your money times four if it's over an eight-year period. But bottom line is that might be a better deal than a deal that has no additional fees other than the what I'm going to call the obligatory 5% combined property management and asset management fees. That's going to be on every deal you'll ever look at. So I'm not referring to those fees. I look at those as being righteous, et cetera. But I look at what I call day zero fees, where, the syndicator walks out of closing and he's already got a couple million dollars of your money being wired to his account by the title company for acquisition fees, due diligence fees, capital raise fees, debt placement fees, construction management fees. You just go down the list. And those fees are the ones that I would suggest to you, you really got to be careful about, because when someone's walking out of closing and the money's already on their way to your account, it's highly unlikely you're going to be able to recoup that money if the deal doesn't go according to the pro formas and you don't achieve the metrics that were splashed all over the investment webinar you might have attended and the private placement memorandum, if there are many. You still should see some indication of what the targets are. And I'm just telling you, my clients don't sign up for those kind of transactions. And if you're a syndicator out there listening to this discussion, I would welcome you to come on the show. I don't care what your fees are. I would suggest to you, deserve any fee you can collect, but you don't deserve them from my clients until you've earned them a 2.0 equity multiple over 3.6 to 4 years. That's where we double our money. It's a 20% internal rate of return, typically, or close to 20. It depends on when that last chunk comes in, I suppose. But bottom line is the fees are not a reason to just say, oh, I'm not investing with this syndicator because he's got unreasonable fees. They may or may not be unreasonable, but to the extent they're coming out on day zero, I would tell you, They're likely irrational. It's unreasonable. And if I hear a syndicator, another one, say, well, I worked hard for the last 6 months to a year to put this deal together. Okay, my client worked hard for the last 30 years to put their funds together to invest in your transaction. So you might understand why we don't want to see $2 or $3 million going out on day zero. We would love for you to have $5 million. At the end of the deal, if we've gotten our 2.0 equity multiple back and it's only been 3.6 to 4 years, or it's a 8 times multiple, or I'm sorry, it's a 4 times multiple over 8 years, we want to average that doubling effect every 3.6 to 4 years. But in any event, unfortunately, the fees that are being taken dilute your capital. And when I say dilution, I'm going to compare it to what if you were to take your money, let's just assume you could or wanted to, and go buy your own small apartment building, okay? In that case, you won't be paying all of the fees that you're seeing. It'll be your money, and yes, you'll have to go get the loan, and yes, you'll have to do some of the work on your own. Of course, you'll hire a property management firm, but bottom line is, you've got a lot more of your chicken still left in the hen house on day one or day zero of that investment and then all the way through. So I'm going to look at what's the dilution effect of the investment. Okay, I hear the music coming for the end of the third segment. We'll be back in a few minutes with More of the Be a Planner Syndication Mass Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
For God knows where, I guess I don't know. When I get there, I'm learning to fly.
The Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, focuses exclusively on helping investors understand the current options for investing. The syndication arena has changed. You can now take advantage of direct online investing options without expensive upfront membership fees. Nathan Ross, CPA, discusses these options and more, including the math involved with partnership selection, reporting, and performance. On the Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, Sundays at 7 a.m. right here on KSEV. Want to be a part of the conversation? Phone lines are open. Call now, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-KSEV. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just getting started with real estate private partnership syndications, you can now take advantage of direct online investing options. Tune in Sundays at 7 a.m. to the Be a Planner Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, right here on KSEV.
Okay, welcome back to the final segment of the Be a Planner Syndication Mass Show this week with Nathan Ross, CPA, and we've been discussing a bit of the metrics that I show on the lineup on the Be a Planner website, beaplanner.com, syndication math link at the top. And you'll notice there's some columns there that are shown in blue. And what that would indicate is that if we've run one of our 401 math illustrations for you, which you're welcome to have us do complimentary again, if you'll go to the link just two over from the syndication math link at the top, the intake forms, I've got some intake forms there that if you will complete those, it'll give me the information I need. I actually bothered to ask you how much money you have to get started and how you define retirement, as opposed to some of the other self-made millionaires on the air here on KSEV that simply, you know, talk loud and often about how you'll be retired in 2.5 years. And I'll tell you right now, that is mathematically impossible unless you're starting with at least $1 million in these same investments. A lot of my clients are in those investments. They're members. And I've seen how they perform. I know a lot more than you might think I do, just hearing me on the air. But I'm telling you right now, it's mathematically impossible on $200,000 or $300,000, which is what a lot of the members have when they join, to retire one in 2.5 to 5 years, unless you got $1 million and you define retirement as $60,000 or less tax-free. Now, if that's you, well, then you're retired. You just don't have your money deployed right. So you need to join today. Go join the platform and shoot low. You know, if you only want $60,000 after tax, you're going to get there in 2.5 years. But I'm going to tell you, if you're normal and you want at least $160,000 after tax, maybe more. I had one client that wanted $760,000 when they retired, and they're going to get there. Why? Because they're young enough where 15 years down the road, they might start taking money out of their retirement. So the issue is, I'm actually going to ask for that information, and I'm going to show you in live living color. It's a very colorful illustration. When you do get a chance to look at it, it looks kind of like a Domino's pizza menu. It's what one of my associates calls it. And chock full of information. There is no other accountant or tax attorney in the United States that will prepare that analysis for you. And I have that down. I understand the rules involved. I understand how syndications operate. And I want to show you how each of the three options, call it four, but one of the options is part and parcel of the other. It's a twofer, the 401 trust. And I will show you those are the only options you have to use the funds that are in your retirement funds. And if you'll compare the throughputs of those four options, you will see that there is a big, big difference. And this goes back to something I said earlier, which is if you join a platform that otherwise may be righteous and moral, and I think they use the word ethical on their syndications, it's almost criminal what they tell you to do with your retirement money. And so if someone's cost you, and you're going to think I'm joking, but on $350,000, your opportunity cost, your COMO for the Utes, cost of missing out, is just over $24 million over the next 30 years. And you're probably saying, Nathan, you're cuckoo. And I'm going to tell you, get your $4 Walmart calculator, multiply 95,000 times 1.2 times 1.2, 20% being the targeted compounded rate of return on investment, and go out 30, do that 30 times and tell me what the number is. Then you'll understand why I'm going to harken back to an expression that our legendary oil well firefighter from Houston, Red Adair, said way back in the day. If you think professionals are expensive, see how much amateurs cost you. Okay, and I think of that every time I do one of these illustrations for a client. And by the way, the $24 million, that's on $350,000. Try that analysis on $1 million. And of course, the tax is going to be about $400,000 in most people's case, or $350,000. Run that out 30 years at 1.2, and you better be sitting down, or you might bump your head when you faint. It's huge, absolutely huge. Okay, so back to the syndication math, the lineup. So if we, you know, I talked about equity multiple throughout this show, but basically, we're calculating, we want to target a 2.0 over 3.6 years. And give you an example. If in 3.6 years, or call it four, you know, it's close enough, you'd be happy with 4 years. If you have $100,000 and over 4 years you get $200,000 back, including your capital, that is a 2.0 equity multiple. Okay, you've put in 100, you've gotten 200 back, you've doubled your money. If it's over 8 years, you would want to get $400,000 back to equivocate to the 3.6-year base. That's what that column is showing. And then the minimum hold, maximum hold are part and parcel, because you can't hold it for, you know, if it returns a 2.0 equity multiple over 10 years, well, that's deficient. I mean, that's half, less than half what it would need to be to comport with what we show on your 401 math illustration. Our 401 math illustration is predicated on a 20% compounded rate of return. Your money should double every 3.6 years. It's rule of 72. Divide the rate into 72, and on 20, you'll see that works out to 3.6. So you can, you know, we could use a different rate. I'll use whatever rate you want me to use. If you want to see what 10% might turn into versus, I don't know, 30, 35. I've seen people that have achieved that. Heck, I've seen people achieve 200% on these real estate syndications. There's special facts and circumstances usually involved, but it happens. And those are the ones you hear about on the radio show, naturally. You don't hear about the ones, like I was just reviewing an email thread between investors in a transaction that were complaining because the lead partner was finally getting ready to sell it, and they had actually had no increase in no gain. They were simply getting their money back after 4 years. And the discussion went along the lines of, well, you know, gee, maybe you should put your fees back into the till so that your investors that supported you and were, you know, enabled you to acquire this project that put the fee money in your pocket can get a little bit of, more than just getting their money back. And that's what we are seeing more and more, because there's no magic pixel dust that can be sprinkled on these transactions. And once a lead partner on, say, a $45 to $50 million transaction has taken $2 to $3 million out on day zero, it puts a little bit of stress on the metrics of the project. You got to have a lot of market cooperation. The problem is we're all counting on market cooperation. We're never planning on cap rates going up dramatically, interest rates going up dramatically. And by the way, almost every transaction these days is funded with bridge, what we call bridge debt, which is a temporary form of debt with a three-year refinance requirement. You would also probably have 2 one-year extensions. Of course, those aren't free. They cost 1%. And, 1% on a $40 million loan is a lot of money, okay, 400 grand to be exact. And so, when you're getting significant fee money out on a transaction, let's just suggest you're less sensitized to the math involved. In fact, I referencing Grant Cardone, and I'm assuming the listener understands who Grant Cardone is. If you don't, go Google him. He's got 80,000 YouTube videos or some insane number, made a lot of money in the real estate syndication business. And I heard him make a comment the other day that I had only assumed. And every once in a while, I don't know if it's a Freudian slip or what, I guess when people are drunk with adoration, his listenership is far more than mine. And he actually said, out of his words, out of his mouth, that he typically prefers to overpay for an apartment building because that means the seller would do business with him the next time. And it's like, I understand the concept of leaving a little meat on the bone both ways, but for you to actually say that, and if you look at how much money Grant Cardone has in every transaction he invests in, it may be significant in some. It used to be. I doubt it is now, and I would suggest you really got to watch not just the Grant Cardones of the world. I'm talking about even the people that don't have YouTube videos, like the aforementioned email thread that I was reviewing, where you really wonder at some point, now, is the syndicator doing this because he thinks he's going to hit the pro formas and earn me back a 1.8 or a 2.0 or a 3.2 equity multiple? Or is he doing it because there's significant day zero fees, 2% or higher acquisition fees? I've seen as high as 5 lately. When you're talking about a $40 million transaction, 5%, that's $2 million. That's a lot of money. Who, at that point, what do you care if it doesn't return the money to your partners, other than you'd like to have your partners go forward with you in the next investment? But hey, you'll probably find other people that don't know any better. They don't understand the likelihood that you won't get to the end zone or to the finish line, and they'll fall for it. And I'm just suggesting it's collectively looking at more than a few metrics to figure out just how badly your capital is being diluted, whether it's rational, whether it's reasonable, given the potential outcomes. So in any event, we're coming up to the end of the show here again this week. I've got about a minute left, and I'm going to suggest if you'd like to work with me, go to the schedule a call link there at the top of the site. After you've filled out the intake forms, be happy to spend some time with you on the phone to figure out if we can sync up with your investment needs. Enjoyed the show. We look forward to being back again next Saturday at 5 p.m. for the Be a Planner Tax Mash Show. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening to Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. Be sure to tune in next Saturday at 5 for another edition of Be a Planner Show here on AM 700 KSEV.